pulling up his travel schedule here. Larry and Lavana, y'all give them a clap off when they're just up the road, about 45 minutes from Cleveland. God's territory, got Church of God up there, Church of God is prophecy, got their denomination. You know, one of these days Dalton's going to catch up and we're just going to surpass them there of what God's doing. But they've doctored in biology, taught different places, but the last place was at Lee University. And so he's one of those smart guys that we look up to. But they planted a church almost, 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And this year they turned it over to their son, Evan. And that's cool. And just passing that thing on to the next generation, but also the next physical generation. That's not always easy to do, is it? And so they started that church and pastored it for all these years. And for many years, they started years ago something called International Ministries Network. And they're doing that full time now. I mean, they're still at their church and being a part of that and speaking and overseeing it. But they're doing that now. And just to give you an example of their schedule this year, you told me, can I tell them how old you are? He's 70, and he's making me tired looking at his schedule. So if you need some help, just get him to lay hands on you for the long haul. But this year, he's going to be overseas in five countries, or some of them he already has. The Philippines, Fiji, in August is Nepal. In September is Zimbabwe, Africa. On top of that, he preaches and teaches in Spanish, and there's a bunch of networks of churches that they go and minister at, and he preaches in Spanish. This month, he's going to Central Florida. He's already been up to Kentucky. It's not just one church, but a group of churches. Get the dates right. In July, going to the Southwest and ministering there. So we're honored that they're here. And I could go on and talk about it, but it takes that's a good introduction and get started. But I turn it over to you guys, and we love you.
Hey, I love you too. Great to be with you. Thank you, Craig. We appreciate you. And since he told my age, I'm going to have to say that I did marry a younger woman.
1 year. It was sounding like the Energizer Bunnies up here. I don't know. We're just so glad to be here with you. Looked forward to this. It's been years since we've been able to be down this way, so it's exciting. I'm a homeschool mom, so I want to speak to these kids just a minute. And you've got quite a few ages here, but I just want to say to you that you're the hope of our nation. And I really want to encourage you. You know, sometimes it can seem like church is going to last forever. I remember hearing my son and daughter, you know, because as pastors, they had to be in church a lot. And, you know, but now, you know, my son's a pastor and traveled around the world, and my daughter's traveled around the world and loves Jesus. And now she has two little boys, and she's teaching them how to pray. You know, the most precious treasure that we have is knowing Jesus. And for you to be able to start your life at such a young age, getting to know Jesus and getting to hear his word, there are all kinds of things that are being planted in your heart. You can be sitting here and you're thinking about the truck you just had to leave at home to come to church. But God is saying things to your heart. He's planting things in your heart. And then, you know, you're in your teenage years and you find yourself wanting to go get to know what God's doing in the Philippines, or wanting to do something with Native Americans. You find these things that just begin to stir, dreams that begin to come up in your heart. It's because God's been planting that in your heart all along. He knows who you are, and he knows your destiny. You're getting to know your destiny. So, kids, I just want to encourage you, don't ever let the enemy tell you that that time is wasted, that you're just having to sit there and, you know, fold your hands or whatever. God's doing something really special in you, and you are the hope of our nation. You are the leaders that God's making now. I won't be around forever, but you're going to be around a lot longer than me, so I want to encourage you with that.
Isn't she wonderful? Thank you, Lavana. Also, I want to recognize Nancy Clark is with us. Stand up, Nancy. She's our intercessor. She doesn't usually get to travel with us, but she said, since you're just going to Dalton, could I go with you today? And we're blessed to have you with us, Nancy. She's the prayer pastor at Living Word Church, and she's a prayer leader in our city and really brings together many things that God is doing in Cleveland. So thank you for being here with us today, Nancy. And thank you all for coming today, and thank you, Craig, for inviting us to be here. We have come into a closer relationship with your pastor over the last 2 years. I've known him for many years, but really have come into a closer relationship over the past couple of years, and thankful for that, and believe that God is doing some new things in us and new things through us, and God's preparing us for some great things ahead. I have passed by your church here many times, and this is my first time here, so I'm thankful to be here today, and to catch the spirit of this church, and to catch the spirit of the worship that's here. I enjoyed the worship very much, and I'm like you. I like home cooking better than restaurant food. And I appreciate the good home-cooked food that we had this morning in the time of worship. I love the atmosphere that you have here. I love the freedom that you have, that we're free to be free in Christ Jesus and to worship the Lord and to open our hearts and to be real and to love God and love one another. I appreciate the atmosphere of love that I feel here. I believe there is a community here. There's a real family of faith and community here of people that love one another and love your city and love the lost people that are in this area and have a heart for bringing the lost to Christ. I appreciate the vision that I saw as I came down the hallway of the harvest fields there and the unreached people groups and all of the things that I'm seeing here that's visualized in your church. I'm really thankful to be able to participate in it today. Well, today I'm not going to speak very long. Now, all of you know that you have to worry when a pastor says that. But I'm not going to. Actually, I've got a very short message today. And so I'm going to share with you today. I've just got 15 of these. I'm just kidding. I'm excited to share the word with you today. You know, we were talking earlier about copying other people's messages, and the way I do it is that when I hear Pastor Craig say something that I really think is good, the next time I say it, I'll say, as I heard Pastor Craig Cooper say, and I'll say that thing, and then the next time I say it, I'll say, I heard someone say one time. And then finally I get to a point, I say, as I always said, and then I'll just, they say that when you copy somebody, it's plagiarism, but when you copy a lot of people, it's research. So, I don't want anybody to go to sleep today, and I'm going to give you a warning today in this little story I'm going to tell, that there was this pastor's association that they would get together once a year for overnight meeting and fellowship and sharing with each other, and they would go to this hotel, and there was only one problem, and that is that they had to have a roommate, and there was one old pastor in the group that snored so badly that nobody wanted to be roommates with this pastor because they knew they wouldn't get any sleep. So they had a new young pastor that joined their association. And they said, we know what we're going to do. We're going to assign him to sleep in the room with that old pastor. We know he won't get any sleep. So they were talking about it, and they came. Sure enough, they assigned this young pastor to sleep in the hotel room with this older pastor, and they were wondering how it was going to go that night. Next morning, they got up, and the young man came out, and he was smiling and whistling and looking around and seemed to be feeling good. So they came up to him and asked him, said, brother, how'd it go last night? He said, oh, it went great. He said, well, did you get any sleep? He said, oh, yeah, I slept like a baby. And they said, well, how did you get any sleep? Didn't the old man snore? He said, oh, yes, the old man snored. It sounded like a herd of elephants and a train coming through and a tidal wave coming across the land. But he said, I got up and I went over to him and I leaned over and kissed him right on the mouth. And the old man stayed awake all night just to make sure I didn't do it again. So just be careful today, because if you go to sleep, one of these big men there might just reach out and kiss you and wake you up. I want to share with you a message today that I believe is not a new message for this church. I don't know if I'm right on time or if I'm 10 years late, but I'm preaching today on change. From Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, I want to begin today. And I want to say to you as a church and to you as an individual, God is doing something new. God is preparing us for something new. Now, I'm going to share with you about some of the new things that God is doing in my life. I'm going to share some of my story. But I want to share with you the word today in Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Why don't you read it out loud with me? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, Father, we pray that you will speak to us as your people. We believe that your word is alive and active and speaking today. We believe it is sharper than a two-edged sword. We believe it separates between spirit and soul and joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us from your word. We say the prayer that Samuel prayed, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharing with you today that God is doing something new. I don't think this is a new message for this church. I think this is a message that this church lives. In fact, your pastor is telling me about changes that are taking place, how the decor is changing, and things are moving forward here. So I believe I'm in the right place today. I want to tell you today that the future is happening now. When we were at the beach recently with our two young grandsons, one is 3 years old, one is 1 year old, we had promised the 3 year old that we were going to do something tomorrow. So all day that day he said, is it tomorrow? Is it tomorrow yet? He kept asking, is it tomorrow? So I believe that there are some people here that are wanting some new things in your life, and you're saying, is it tomorrow yet? You've been looking forward to new things that God has promised in your life, and we're saying, is it tomorrow? Is it tomorrow yet? The future is happening. Now, I know it's natural to fear the unknown. It's natural to fear things that we don't know what's going to happen. It's natural to fear change. But it's supernatural to believe and to be excited about the new things that God wants to do in your life. And I want to just ask you during this message today to begin asking yourself, what is something new that God has been speaking to me about? What is something new that you want to do in my life? God is moving. And if we're going to be in on the move of God, we are going to be changing, and we're going to be going in new directions of things that God opens up for us. Now, I believe God wants to do new things in your life and new things in your church. And I believe it for different areas of our life. Anything that doesn't have some fresh input into it will tend to stagnate and will eventually die. It happens to churches. It happens to businesses. It happens to marriages. And I want to encourage you to think about, what does God want to do in your marriage? What does God want to do in your family? What does God want to do in your relationships? Is there something new that God's been speaking to me about my employment or about my business or something in my life, something practical in my life? And what does God want to do in my life spiritually? What is something new that God wants to do in my life? Now, I recognize that there are two groups of people here today. There are people that love change and people that hate change. There are people here today, and probably half of you are in one group and half are in the other. The people that love change are so excited. They're so eager. They can't wait for change. They look forward to change. They anticipate change. They want it to be tomorrow already. They're wanting to move ahead. They want to do something new. The other group of people are saying, wait, hold on. Let's don't move so fast. They resist change. They are against change. Whatever change is taking place, it takes them a while to come around to the point that they're open to considering new things. Those people, you can tell because there are heel marks all the way in their life that they've been dragged. Many times it was their wife, or sometimes their husband has been dragging them into new things. The people who, I can tell the people that don't like change because already you've got your hands over your ears. You don't want to hear this message today about change, but God is speaking to us about change, and I want to encourage you with the word of God today, and I want to encourage you to embrace your future. The future is there in front of you, and according to God's word, God has planned a great future for you. I'm speaking to the children, the young people, and all of us here, to embrace your future, to reach out and take hold of what God is wanting to do. Verse 19 in Isaiah 43 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness." Now I want to go back and address the fear, because in verse 1 of Isaiah 43, it begins by saying, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." So God is speaking to us today and telling us, do not fear the future, because God says you are mine. I'm going to take care of you. I'm already in the future ahead of you, the Lord says. I see the way. Though you don't see it, God says, I see the way, and I'm preparing the way before you. Now, all of us have two voices in our life. One of them is a voice of faith, and the other one is a voice of fear. All of us have both of these voices going on in our lives. The voice of faith says you can. The voice of faith says it's possible. The voice of faith says move ahead. The voice of fear says hold on. Not so fast. The voice of fear says you probably can't do it. The voice of fear says you might fail. The voice of fear says you failed before, and you're likely to fail again. This is the voice of fear that will hold you back. But I want to tell you about a third voice that's actually more powerful than either one of those voices. Now, the voice of faith is the voice of God. The voice of fear is the voice of the devil. But there's another voice that's actually stronger than either one of those. Well, what could be stronger than God's voice? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's your voice. Because what's going to happen in your life is determined by which voice you agree with. And the voice that you believe the most in your life is not your pastor, it's not your wife, it's not your husband. The voice you believe the most is your own voice. It's what you say to yourself that you believe the most. It's what you repeat inside of you. The tapes that are going over, the recordings that are going over in your mind of things that you say to yourself. Your inner voice, your self-talk, is actually determining the course of your life. And I say that that's stronger than God's voice, because Jesus said, "You've made the word of God of no effect by your unbelief." If we don't believe God and we speak what the devil is saying instead of what God is saying, then God's plan won't take place in our life. But God is calling us to align our voice with the voice of God, which is a voice of faith, and be ready to move forward with the new things that God is wanting to do in our life. Does this church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I believe God is calling us to embrace our future and begin to speak in alignment with God. When God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then we got to believe that and say what God says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When God's word says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, quit worrying about the resources, about how you're going to do what God has called you to do, and begin moving in that direction by faith and say what God says. I know that my God will supply all my need through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm calling us to line up with God's word. Now, I know about the people who don't like change here today, because I am one. I don't like change. I'm one who resists change. I hold back from change. I study it over and over. I'm an internal processor, and I have to go over and over things and try to figure it out. Now, my wife is the opposite. Probably you're married to someone who's the opposite of you. If you don't like change, you're probably married to somebody that's ready to change. They're ready to move things. They're ready to change things in the house. They're ready to change things and to get things going in a different direction. God brought you together for a balance. We understand that. But I understand the feelings of people that don't like change. And God has brought so many changes in my life. Heel marks dug in all the way, but God has changed so many things. And you know what? God has changed so many things, and I found that it turned out okay, that I've begun to embrace change in my life. I've seen God work in new ways in my life that I didn't see how it was going to happen. Actually, I didn't believe at the start that it could happen, but God made it happen. And I've come to believe through experiences in my life that God is in control. I want to share with you a few things. I didn't start out to be a pastor. I started out when I was in high school. I wanted to be an architect. I was signed up to go to North Carolina State University in architecture. But then in the middle of planning for that, God changed my direction. I had an amazing experience that happened in my life. When I was 18, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever experienced that kind of revolutionary change in your life when God comes in on the inside with the power of the Holy Spirit and changed my direction? I went instead to a Christian college and studied in Christian college. And then while I was in college, I've got interested in science. And so I studied biology. While I was doing that, I got an interest in the poor and helping people in the projects. And I got a burden for the children in the projects, and I wanted to do something about it. I heard about the poverty, and I heard about the abuse and things that was going on in the projects, and I got a burden for it. And so I began to pray, and I felt that God wanted me to go over there and do something about it, to minister to the children. And so at that time, I was going to a prayer meeting every Monday night at our church. It was led by an 80-year-old woman. And every Monday night, I'd say, I want you to pray and ask God. I'm asking God to send me over there to the projects, and I need a partner to go with me. I don't believe I'm to go alone. I need a partner to go with me. After 3 weeks of this same prayer request, this 80-year-old woman came to me after the prayer meeting and said, Larry, I want to ask you, can I go with you to minister to the children at the projects? And she said, I used to minister to children in the church until they said I was too old. She said, but when they made me quit, I had 40 children in my class, but I have a burden for children. Would you take me with you? And I said, yes, we'll go. We'll be the partner. So this 20-year-old and this 80-year-old put some posters up in the housing project. We're going to have a ministry for children on this particular Saturday. We went over there. Somebody had let us use their apartment. We went in, and the place was full. Not only children, but adults were there. And so we took the adults aside, and we said, now this program is for children. We've got stories prepared for the children. We're going to teach the children from the Bible. I remember this big lady sitting over there, and she said, can't you teach us too? And I went over to her, and I said, ma'am, are you asking to be taught the Word of God? She said, yes, we want the Word of God too. I said, would you open up your apartment for one night for us to come over and teach the Bible? She said, I sure will. I went over there that night. Her apartment was full of adults. I started a church by accident. I didn't mean to start a church when I was 20 years old and I was studying biology at the college. I didn't mean to start a church. You know, I've done so many things by accident in the ministry that I don't know if I get any reward for anything. I didn't do them on purpose. I didn't mean to start a church. I just meant to minister to the children and went over there and a church started. But you know, I found out that 80-year-old woman had an amazing gift of healing, and miracles began to happen there in the projects, and people were getting healed. I wish I could tell you the stories of the healings that took place during that time, and many people coming to the Lord. We saw transformation in the community, and this was when I was just 20 years old. God was preparing me for changes in my life. And then I went to North Carolina State to graduate school. There the Lord called me to start a ministry for the students. And so I didn't know how to do it. I put up posters, invited people, but I need to tell you that the wrong people came. I was expecting nice Christian people to come to my Bible study, but drug addicts came, and the beauty queen of the campus came, and these people came. The biggest drug pusher on the campus came to that meeting and got saved. God changed his life. He had been dealing drugs out of his room. And from then on, when people came to his room to get drugs, he says, "I've got something better than this, and let me give you something better than this." And he began to deal Jesus out of his room and bring other people to the Lord. The beauty queen of the campus, the homecoming queen, came and got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in French for 3 weeks. She couldn't speak in English. She was speaking French all the time. And one of her classes, one day, the student in front of her turned around and said, "Stop it! Stop it! I know what you're doing. I'm a French major. You've been praying for me for 3 weeks. Stop it!" God was bringing change, preparing me for change in my life. And I went on and became a college professor in biology. But people began to come to my office and began to come to my house and wanted to know more about God, and had the opportunity of leading many people to Jesus and many people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And God called me at that time. I was a tenured college professor in biology and chairman of my department, and God called me to come to Cleveland, Tennessee, to leave that behind and to begin a new kind of church, a church like there was no church. You people are used to this kind of church now where you can shout and praise and wave your banners and these things, but that wasn't there before. There wasn't anything like that in Cleveland, and God called us to go to Cleveland and begin this new kind of church. And I'm thankful for the move of God that has taken place now, being there for 29 years, and God has brought many changes, brought international ministry into my life and opened doors of the nations. We're ministering in Nepal, for example. About 20 years ago, we heard about unreached people groups. You got these posters and things about them in your hallway here. I heard about unreached people groups and the opportunities for churches in America to adopt an unreached people group and to pray for an unreached people group. So I wrote to the organization. I said, "We want our church to adopt an unreached people group, and we would like to request that you would assign us a people group in North America, or maybe in Central America. We would like to be able to have opportunity to minister to those people at some time." They wrote back and said, "Thank you for signing up to our Adopt a People program. We're signing you the Mahotari Taru people of Nepal." I don't know if you know where Nepal is, but when you go to Nepal, you can't go any farther. You start coming back. It's the other side of the world. It's as far away as you can get. And so we began to pray for this people group in Nepal. We told all of our prayer groups, our children's church, our small groups, everybody in our church knew about Mahotari Taru people. We prayed for 2 years before we ever sent anybody over there. And finally, we sent a group of people over there. We sent three men, all of them seasoned missionaries. One of them had lived in Nepal before. And they went and they searched for 2 weeks while they were there and could not find this people group. They were so poor, so remote, that the people in Nepal didn't even know where they were. They came back without finding the people group. So I said, I've got to go. We've got to go back. We've got to find these people. So I went with the next group that went back. We searched for a week. And after a week, I was really discouraged, not being able to find this people group there. And so my guide that went with me there said, I have a friend who works at a hospital. Could we go over there and ask them if they know about this people group? So I said, okay, let's go over there. So it took us all day to get over there to that hospital. We came in, and we asked them, do you know about this? They said, yes, we know. We know the Mahotri Taru people. They said, in fact, we have had some patients from there. They said, by the way, I don't know if you know, but this is a leprosy hospital. Well, I didn't want to be in a leprosy hospital, and here I find myself in a leprosy hospital, and I find out the people that we're going to have leprosy in this group of people. I didn't want to go there. My heel marks were dug in so deep all the way, but they said, we can take you over there to find this people group. We can provide an interpreter for you, and we can go over there and help you find this people group, but we can't do it today. We can do it tomorrow. And I looked around and I said, we're far away from the city. There's no place. There are no hotels here. There's no place for us to sleep. They said, you can sleep here at the hospital. Well, I didn't want to sleep at a leprosy hospital. I didn't. The administrator of the hospital could see it in my eyes. I didn't want to sleep at a leprosy hospital. And he said, oh, don't worry, if you catch leprosy, we'll treat you. That wasn't very comforting either. But they actually provided us a clean place to stay. The next day we went out to these villages. There were no roads there. We had to go through dry river beds and ox cart trails. And fortunately, they had a Land Rover, and we were able to get out there. After traveling half a day, we got out there, and they said, this is a Taru village. And they said, now, we don't know how the people will react. Our guide said, we've been to other tribes to bring the gospel to them, and we were beaten, and we had to run. And so I didn't want to get beaten either, you know. They said, but if we run to the Jeep, you have to run and get in the Jeep with us, and we'll run and we'll get away. So we didn't know what to expect out there in the village. And we came up, and I said, I want to speak to the chief of the village. And they brought out about five men that came out with the chief. And we said, we want to talk with the leaders of this village. So they spread a big cloth on the ground, and we sat down in a circle on this cloth with these village leaders and the team of people that I had with me. And I talked with them that day about everything I could think of, except I didn't talk about God. I talked for an hour and a half. I asked them about their farms, their agriculture, their crops, their land, their children, their animals, their cow dung, their everything. I asked them everything I saw. I asked them about it, their cow dung paintings on the walls and all these things. I asked them about everything I could think of there out in that village. And finally, after so long, I didn't know how to reach an unreached people group, but I know now that I was speaking to interest in them and their heart and what was happening in their lives and their family. And after so long a time, I said, I have a message from God. And the village chief, his eyes were big, and they have millions of gods. They worship stones and rivers and mountains and sun and all kinds of things they worship there. And I said, I've got a message from God. May I tell you? He said, you must tell me the message from God. And so I began to tell him, and I began to tell him there is a God who created the whole world. He created the sun and the mountains and the rocks and the rivers. And this God created people. And this God created people, and he loved people. And this God only had one son, and this God, his son's name was Jesus, and he sent his son to the world, and his son was willing to give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all the whole world. and so that we could have eternal life. I said, has anyone ever told you about this God? They said, no one has ever told us about this God. You see, they have millions of gods, but none of them has ever told them they love them. None of them has ever said, I'll answer your prayer when you pray over a child at night. None of them had ever experienced anything of a God like this. And I said, I have a film that tells about this God. Could we come back at night and tell your people in your village? He said, you must come back and tell our people about this God. So we went back that night and we showed the Jesus film. It was in their language, and they gathered about 300 people in a little courtyard about as big as this place here. And they were sitting on the ground. They were dirty. They'd been working in the fields all day, and they came and sat on the ground, men and women and children, as we showed the Jesus film. And during the film, it was so dark, there was no electricity there. We were using a generator, puncha, 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 over there to the side. Oh, by the way, we had a 19-inch television screen to use there. That was all we could find that we could rent there. We had a 19-inch television for 300 people to watch. We showed the Jesus film, and the only light in that place was the light of that television shining in the faces of the people. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and as Jesus was nailed to the cross, and Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They heard it in their own language. They saw the suffering of Jesus. You could see the tears running down their dirty faces from working in the fields, and the tears were running down their faces as they saw Jesus dying on the cross. At the end of the film, there was an invitation given, and the invitation, if you want to know this God, you want to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and know this God, raise your hand. They were raising their hands, all of them, it looked like, were raising their hand. The chief was crying, and the chief said, yes, raise your hand, this is good, raise your hand, this is good. So the rest of the people raised their hand when the chief told them. So hundreds of people got saved that night. And then at the end of it, we said, you saw in the film that this Jesus healed people. And we want to tell you that this Jesus is in us, and Jesus still heals people. And we want to pray for anybody here who's sick. The people began to crowd around us. The television had gone off. There was no light. There was no light. We could barely see in the light of the stars and the moon their faces as they came, men and women and children. And we didn't have interpreters for all these people. And we just laid hands on them and just prayed for them. And we were so bone tired when we finished there that night. And we went to the Jeep and drove for half the night to find a hotel, to find a place to sleep and to spend the night. And we came out the next day, and the people were running out toward the Jeep from the village. And we didn't know whether it was good or bad, but they came and they said, oh, last night when you prayed in this name of Jesus, many miracles took place. And you must come back and pray for more people. We couldn't see in the darkness what was taking place, but in the light we saw that the deaf were healed and the crippled were healed by the power of the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm embracing change in my life because of the way I'm seeing God working. Out of that now has come 40 churches in this previously unreached people group. It's reaching to other tribes. And I'm just sharing this with you to share with you from my experience the changes that God has brought in my life. And they've been good changes. And God has been there for every change in my life. God has been faithful in my life. And now in January, this past January, God called us to make another big change. And that was to leave the pastor position of pastoring the church there in Cleveland, and to go into full-time ministry and missions and with International Ministries Network, and to plant other churches and to be available to come and minister in churches like we're having a chance to do today. And so we made that step. It's a big change, and God is faithful. And this year we have 5 international trips, as your pastor has said, and I'm excited about every one of them. In the Philippines, we ministered to the garbage dump people that live in the garbage dump of Manila. Incredible poverty and and problems that are there. But during the time we were there, God moved and miracles happened. There was a little girl who came, had a big tumor on her neck, and God healed her instantly. The tumor just disappeared off of her neck. And people were, and then her mother went all out through the village there telling people, Jesus does miracles. Jesus is doing miracles. And people were getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we connected there with a ministry. It's connected with Heidi Baker. And, oh, it's just awesome what God is doing. We went there from Fiji, and we saw how God is moving in Fiji and bringing transformation there. We're connected with about 165 churches in Mexico. And we're going to Baja California in Mexico in July and ministering there. After that, we go to Nepal. I believe it's important for us to go and assess the damage and what's taken place and how we can help the people there in Nepal. We've been sending money over for relief efforts to buy food and water and shelter for people that have lost their homes. You're probably aware millions of people are homeless now in Nepal. The people live on the edge of poverty anyway, but with this disaster, whole villages have been wiped out. I thank God that none of our pastors were lost, none of our churches were lost because of the earthquake, but we're ministering and they're reaching out into other areas that did experience the disaster more, and we'll be going there. And then in Africa, we're church planting in Malawi and Zimbabwe. God is doing new things, amen. And I believe God wants to do new things in your life. I hope you've been asking God while I've been sharing with you today, what is something new that you want to do in my life? Now, your pastor gave my age, and I'm 70 this year. But I'm going to tell you, God has a lot more new things to do in my life. I'm not too old to change. There are new things to happen in my life. After 29 years of pastoring the church, I can change. I can move on to something new that God wants to do in my life. I've seen so many impossibilities in my life. I was born in poverty. My father was a hopeless alcoholic. My mother was extremely sick. My mother was diseased at the time that I was conceived, and I was number six child. My mother had five children before any of them went to school. We were extremely poor. Our family was extremely hopeless, but God had hope for my life. God had a plan. God had a plan for my life. There's nobody too poor. There's nobody too hopeless. There's nobody too uneducated. There's nobody that doesn't have the gifts. God has given you what you need to move forward. I want to say to this church, God has everything you need to move forward in all that God has called you to do. All that God has called you to do in the city and all that God has called you to do in the nations, God has everything that you need to see the fulfillment of the dreams that He has put into your heart. I want to give you one more verse, and that's in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I want to encourage you today, don't let your past keep you from your future. Some of you think, well, I couldn't be. Yes, you can be used by God. Don't let your past keep you from your future. In verse 25, it says, I am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I want to tell you that your mistakes of the past, your failures of the past, can't keep you from fulfilling the will of God in the future. Don't let your past hold you back. Don't let your failures hold you back. Don't let your sins hold you back. God has great things. I read in the Bible about a man who murdered Christians. God made him an apostle. He won nations to the Lord. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. His name is Paul. God can use anybody. You're not too bad for God to use you. You're not too poor for God to use you. You're not too uneducated. You're not too old. There are no excuses in the kingdom of God. God has great things ahead for every one of us. Pastor, I don't know how you want to close the service today, but I want to have a prayer. I want to ask you to come and join me, Pastor. And I want to pray.